desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Now, this one might sound strange, especially to, you know, our rugged, tough ones in the audience. But this is exactly what Paul says of himself. And he says that this is the way that he sought to live and sought to be among them. And I'm telling you, before you start to think anything about Paul that might not be right, I dare say Paul was one of the most rugged, toughest men ever to walk the earth. You don't believe me? Read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. Look at the things that he went through, the times he was beaten, the times he went without, and the times he just got back up and preached again. He wasn't afraid because he knew God. He knew Paul was tough. And yet he says here, the way to be, if the word of God is working in you, is loving and compassionate. He said, you know, like most mothers would do for their children, as we know, the stereotypical mother would suffer so that her kids could shine. And he says, I've invested more than just money in you. I've given you my very self. I didn't just come and just lecture you. I loved you. And so what he's saying here is this: if the word of God is working in us, it's going to open us up to certain things. It's going to connect us to certain emotions where our hearts will be touched, and we will love Christ, and we will love neighbor in a way that could be described as a way that a mother loves her child. Can you go beyond the walls of just your home, maybe into these walls, or maybe even somewhere else? Can you go beyond the walls of just your home, man or woman, whomever you are right here, right now, can you go beyond the walls of your home and say, you know what, I love others the way a mother loves her child? And if the answer to that is no, then it might just be the case that the word of God is not working in you the way that the Lord expects. Because Paul said, I love you, and I took care of you, and I nursed you, and I was compassionate towards you, and I gave you more than just money, I gave you more than just words, I gave you me. And there's also this, he uses the other side of the coin. The word of God is working in us, we will be like fathers to others. Look at verse 11. You know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one. So notice, he says, it wasn't just that I exhorted you this way. Timothy, Silas, the others who were with me, the others on this team, the other preachers, we all treated you this way, like a father with his children. And so what we did is we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you, and we charged you. Listen to the way that's serious. We charged you to walk in a manner that's worthy of God, the one who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The father was expected to be in charge. The father was expected to be the moral and character developer in the home. He was the one that was charged with, the onus was upon him to teach the next generation. And so the imagery here is that they were teaching and leading and rebuking. They were showing by example, this is how a man of God lives, and so you should follow me. They were encouraging, because when you're only heavy-handed, that leads to discouragement. So they were showing, they were leading, they were encouraging, but they were also demanding. He said, we charged you, we demanded of you, we made it clear of you that there are expectations. So here's Paul's point. He said, even in those times, he said, Thessalonians, Christian brothers and sisters, even in those times where I was really direct with you, it came from a place of love, just like a father with his child. So Paul lived an example that could be imitated. He spoke words that lifted up and encouraged. He made demands that they live up to a very high standard. And he treated them like a father who loves his children treats his children. So if the word of God is working in us, we will have this desire to both encourage and teach. And so I need to ask myself, am I an encourager? Am I leading by example? Am I speaking words of truth and conviction? Because that comes to this. The final two points really go hand in hand. He says this: if the word of God is working in me, here's what I can know. I can know that I am saved. He says in verse 12, we exhorted each one of you, we encouraged you, we charged you to walk a manner worthy of God, this God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. God calls you into his kingdom. How does he do this? Well, in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, he says he called you through our gospel. Well, what difference would that make? Well, in James 1:21, the Bible says, if you receive with meekness the implanted word, it says it is able to save your souls. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1. I remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and in which you now stand. And note, this is what that gospel does. By which you're being saved. If you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And then Ephesians 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So just how important is this? Well, he says that God is calling you into his kingdom. And so look down at verse 16. He said that there were those Gentiles who hindered others from hearing the word. They kept others from hearing the gospel be preached. And it says that kept them, look at this, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they might be saved. If we could have preached there and they could have heard this, and if this would have changed them. It said, since they hindered us from preaching the saving message, he says, what they are doing is filling up the measure of their sins by which wrath has come upon them. The gospel, Romans 1:16. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:18, is the power of God to save. And so if the word is working in me, if I know, as it says in Romans 10, verse 17, that hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If I've heard the message of God, I can know who Jesus is. I can know what Jesus expects. I can know what he's done for me. I know what he'll do in the future. And so I can know what I must do to be right. I can know about repentance. I can know about immersion. I can know about being washed in his blood, brought up to a resurrection life, a brand new life. I can know these things. I can know that the word is working in me because he shared it with me. I can know that I'm saved. And this is an area where so many of us, maybe up to this point, you know, you've been a member of the Lord's body for decades. And up to this point on the sermon outline, you're like, yep, check, check. And then you get to this one and you think, yikes, I don't think I've done enough. I'm worried about if I'll be saved. If I were to die tonight, what would happen in eternity? And that is not the way the Lord wants you to live. That's not the way he wants you to live for one more second. Because he says the message that Paul is sharing with them over and over throughout this chapter is he's writing to people who should know where they stand and who they are. Writing to people that if they know who the Lord is, that they go to sleep confident. They don't just walk around preaching boldly. They go to sleep boldly. They don't just stand in front of an audience and say, here's the truth, you'd better listen. They rest quietly by the fire on the front porch or wherever it might be, confidently. Because they know who God is. And so if the word is working in me, I can know not only how to be saved, but I can know that I'm saved. And then that brings us to the last thing. As he says here in this passage, if the word's working in you, you will be willing to endure. Verses 14 through 16 are part of the passage that Scott read for us. Look at verse 14. He says, brothers, you became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus. Now what was happening to the churches in Judea? They were being persecuted. And so he says, you suffered the same things. They were being persecuted. You've been persecuted. He said what they did, what they were doing in verse 15, they killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and they drove us out. We had to go from town to town because they kept hurting us. And so just to preserve life, we went to the next town. It says, but they displeased God. They displeased God and they opposed mankind because they hindered us from speaking the saving message. So here's the message. If the word of God is working in me, I'll be willing to put up with hardships. I'll be willing to put up with hardships from antagonizing people, difficult people. But if the word of God, from the flip side of that, if the word of God is working in me, I won't be the difficult one. I'll be able to put up with difficult people, but I won't be the one who's making others have to put up with me. If the word of God's working in me, I'll be able to deal with and bear up under and be long-suffering even in the face of unforeseen circumstances. I'll be able to deal with physical hurdles, and I won't grow weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, that they were living in a severe test of affliction and extreme poverty, and yet they continued to be faithful. And so here's the message in 1 Thessalonians 2. If the Word of God is working in me, I'll be seeking to grow and to share, but I'll be willing to endure. I'll know that all of these things are who I am, and I'll know that all of these things can be magnified even more. And I'll know that because of the Lord, that I can endure. There's numerous ways for us to see and know if God's Word is working in us, and this passage is just one example. So what I want us to do is to consider the message and ask, is the Word living in me? And if not, what is it that I need to do? Don't be one of the ones who hinders the work, meaning hinders the work as it goes out or hinders the work as it comes in. There were so many who hindered the apostles from sharing the Word. Don't let that be you. Let the Word of God be at work in you. And if there's any way that we can help you this morning, any way that we can help, if it's study or prayer, help you to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want you to be a part of that. We want the Word of God to work in you just like we want it to work in us. And so we want to do that together. If there's any way that we can encourage you, we ask to let your needs be known while we stand and sing.